The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simon Yud Beis. Hachanas haguf l'tefila, preparation of the body for prayer, u'makayma shiroi l'his palashem, in the places that it is appropriate and proper to pray there. We are up to Sif Yud. Says the Kitzur, yesh lo la'odon l'kvaya lo'y beis ha'knesses e'y beis ha'medrash. She is palashem l'kvi. As a person should fix a specific shul, a specific synagogue or study hall, they should pray there on a constant basis. A person shouldn't pray one day in this shul, one day in that shul. A person should have a set, fixed place where he always prays. He should also fix over there, within the synagogue, within the shul, a designated place in order to pray. I mean, he should have a set seat or a set area in which he always prays. As long as a person is within 4 cubits of his space, that's considered one large area. So therefore, anywhere within 6 to 8 feet is still considered your original place. So for example, if a person comes to the synagogue and he sees that someone else is sitting in his spot, if he sits next to him, so that's also considered his makom kavua, the place that he always prays. However, if there are 3 people sitting there and he can't sit within Dalet Amos, within 4 cubits, he still should not kick someone out. It is preferable to praise someone else than to insult somebody and make somebody feel bad. If you just kick him out of his seat as a guest, he's going to feel uncomfortable. It is certainly preferable for you to pray somewhere else, not have the benefit of praying in your fixed spot, rather than cause somebody else to feel bad. But all things being equal, a person should certainly try to have a fixed spot to pray. However, it's clear that does not necessarily mean that a person has to have a fixed spot to pray every single tefillah. A person can have one synagogue where he goes to for the morning prayers. He has a fixed synagogue for that, and a separate fixed synagogue for the afternoon prayers, and a third for the evening prayers, and maybe even a fourth for the Shabbos prayers. That would not seem to be a problem with this, as long as he's fixed. He's not changing every prayer. One shachris this place, one shachris that place, but he's fixed. This is his shachris minyan, and this is his mincha minyan. That would seem to be also okay, and within any of those places, he should have a specific spot that when he's in that place, he prays in a specific certain spot. It's preferable, if possible, to fix himself a space to pray near the wall. Like we find that King Chizkiah was one of the righteous kings over the tribe of Yehuda in the time of the first temple. It says in the verse, Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir, Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall and he prayed. So you find that there's a benefit to praying by the wall. There's nothing interpolating between yourself and the wall. And that's optimal. Obviously, I have a whole synagogue full of people. Not everybody could have it, and that's why what we call the Mizrachan, the eastern wall, a place on the eastern wall, is so coveted, because you're then able to pray against the wall. Being that we here in this part of the world pray facing east, that's why it is beneficial, it's preferable to sit against the eastern wall, and that's why usually it's reserved for the for the more important members of the congregation, that they should be able to fulfill this dictum of praying opposite the wall. And okay, if you're stuck, you're stuck. There's nothing you can do about it. But for example, if a person is going to pray at home, for some reason he's unable to pray with the congregation, so you should also pray near the wall instead of in the middle of the room. Rather, he should pray where there's nothing separating between himself and the wall. And if he does have an option, he certainly should choose a place which is in front of which is against the wall. later on, Siman Yud Ches, the Kitzur is going to give a little bit more information, use more finer details about which things are problematic if they're between you and the wall, and which things are not, and we'll get to those in Siman Yud Ches. It's preferable a person should not stand or sit during the prayers next to a wicked person. Impedes his prayers from being accepted. As well as on a practical level, if a person is going to be praying improperly, it'll be affected. It's harder for you to focus properly on your prayers if the person next to you is talking to his neighbor or is acting distracted. And if we're even from a practical standpoint, this law just makes it a lot easier for a person to have the proper kavana while praying. When a person prays at home, basically should also fix for himself a designated spot in his house to pray, and it should be the same spot every time. It should be some type of corner, some area in the house that you shouldn't. The other members of the household should not mix him up, getting confused, distracted. You shouldn't have the children playing nearby or whatever else is going on in the house. It should be somewhere removed from the main center of the house that you should be able to pray without distractions. And again, the same way there's a concept of a kviyas makom, of a fixed designated spot to pray. In the synagogue, there's also a concept of a fixed designated spot to pray at home, that for those times, hopefully this should not happen too often, but for those times when he's unable to pray with the congregation, should have a specific area that he prays in the house. And just on a practical level, to understand why it's beneficial to pray in a fixed area, it's a lot easier to concentrate. If a person is in a different spot every time, so he looks around, he either feels a little bit more uncomfortable, or he just takes in the sights, it's new, it's different, it's harder to concentrate. If a person knows this is my spot, and no one's going to take it from me, I'm not nervous that someone else is going to come here and tell me I'm not supposed to be sitting here, and he knows what's around, he sees it every day, it's easier to focus, easier to concentrate on what he's trying to say, concentrate on the prayers, rather than what's going on around him. Sifyut Aleph. Mitzvah Marutz Kishor Halach LeBeis HaKnesses. It is a proper thing, a good thing to do, to run when one is going to the synagogue, or LeBeis HaMedrash, or to the study hall. And L'Shem Mitzvah to do mitzvahs, to do any other positive commandment. You're going to do the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim, to visit a sick person. It's also proper to run. Shenemar, as it says in the verse, near the Foladas Hashem, we will run after the knowledge of Hashem. Uchsiv, it also says in the verse, Derech Mitzvaysecha Arutz, I will run in the ways of your commandments. So we see it is proper for a person to run when he is going to fulfill a commandment or going to pray or to study. V'lachem, therefore, afilo v'shabbos, even on Shabbos, Motil Arutz, or Dvar Mitzvah, is permitted to run for a mitzvah purpose. Even though normally on Shabbos it is forbidden to run, it's considered to be a weekday type of activity. A person's walking on Shabbos should be different. Everything he does on Shabbos should be different than what he does during the week. And therefore, walking on Shabbos should also be different. And if a person is not supposed to run on Shabbos, but if he's going to shul, it is a mitzvah to run, as we're saying over here, or to do any other mitzvah for that matter. This is all when you're going to the synagogue. But if you're already in the synagogue, you're already in the study hall, it is forbidden to run because a person has to treat these areas with the greatest respect, and running in a holy place is not proper, certainly not respectful for the shul, for the synagogue, or for the house of study. As we got to mention, Mr. Brewer points out that the best place to run is when you're close to the synagogue and it's clear that you're doing it for the honor of going to pray. If you start sprinting when you leave your house and the synagogue is not for a couple of blocks and no one has any idea that you're going to the synagogue, so then you're not necessarily showing the honor for the prayers, and therefore you don't have the optimal benefit of the running. Optimal benefit you get from running is when it's clear that you are running to the synagogue. However, if you're holding your talis bag, for example, or you're already dressed in your tefillin, as I'll mention later, and it's clear that you're going to the synagogue, so then you could walk quickly or sprint even earlier because it's clear that you're going to do a positive command. You're going to pray, and already that shows that you're giving honor to the prayers by running to pray. Continues the Kitzur, Bevayil Lefnei HaPesach, when you get to the door, in front of the door of the synagogue, Yashem Ma'at, you should wait a moment. Wait a little bit. Shelo Yichnos B'Pesach Pesach, you shouldn't enter suddenly. Rather, it should be calmly collected with the proper respect and awe for the synagogue you're about to enter. The Yirsah, and you should draw back, and you should feel as if he's in awe of such awe of the holy place that you should draw back. V'yifchad, you should be afraid. Mehadaga, Aina Yisbarach Shemai, from the splendor of the greatness of Hashem. Blessed is His name. V'yoymer, apostle, you should say the verse, V'ani b'roiv chastecha, and I, with your great kindness, Ava b'secha, I come to your house. Eshtacha v'alicha kotrecha, I prostrate myself, I bow down towards your holy sanctuary, b'yosecha, with your awe, in awe of you. First, you'd say that verse, Shukumanitilas Rishus, it's like he's asking permission to enter the holy place where Hashem's presence resides. So he's asking permission, could I come in? With your kindness, I ask you to give me permission to come in. As an aside, it also gives a person the proper feeling. He's about to enter the synagogue. If before he walks into the synagogue, he says this first to himself, he realizes the special nature of what he's about to do. He's about to enter a place that he has to say to himself, I needed kindness. Hashem has to be kind to me to allow me this special merit of entering and praying to him, and transforms a person's experience in the synagogue. It's not just another room, another place to go. So he says his prayers there. It's a special area. It's lucky Shafil who feels lucky and blessed that he's able to be in such a special place and to talk to Hashem in prayer. And afterwards, after he says this verse, he waits a moment or two, Yichnais, he should enter the synagogue, V'yimlech, V'yimel, V'yir, he should walk in awe and in fear, K'hoylech l'fnei melech, as one who walks in front of the king, rather he should not walk flippantly with a lightheadedness or with a levity, he should walk as one is in the presence of the king, as indeed one is in the presence of Hashem, as when he is in the synagogue or in the study hall. When in those communities that the Jews have their own streets that are designated just for Jews and there are no Gentiles living there, mitzvah is active, but sitzes laniach tefillin lebeisah, it is proper and it is a positive thing to wrap himself in his tzitzis and his talis and to put his tefillin on at home, v'yelach kachah b'sikneses, and then to walk dressed in his talis and tefillin to the synagogue. However, in a place where the person lives among the Gentiles, where he has to pass through unclean streets, there's filth in them, excrement or other dirty things, and it's not proper for one to wear his tefillin in the presence of filth. Usually it's or in the presence of the non-Jews, they'll mock him. So usually it's ativ betzitzis laniach tefillin bepreizer shabbos haknesses, it is preferable to still put on one's talis and tefillin before he enters the synagogue proper. He should do so in the hall. The preizer is the hall, the antechamber of the synagogue. Ki hu inyan gadol, because it's a great matter. It's something very special in lichlais shabbos haknesses to enter into the synagogue mu'utav betzitzis, wrapped in tzitzis, v'muchta betfillin, and crowned with its one tefillin. As we all know, the general custom, most people are not so careful about this, but it certainly is a proper thing to do, if one could do so, to put on his talis and his tefillin in the hallway, in the antechamber, in a side room, and then enter the synagogue while he is dressed in his talis and his tefillin. Sifyud Beis. In Machmas Eza Oynes, if because of some circumstance beyond his control, Eino Yochel Leilach HaBeis HaKnesses, he's unable to come to the synagogue, or Beis HaMedrash, or to the study hall. And he can't even make it to some other fixed congregation. Even if there's normally is some kind of minyan, some congregation, congregational prayer in someone's house, let's say, that he sometimes could go to, even if he can't make it all the way to the synagogue. But for some reason, he's not able to make it. He can't make it there. He's stuck. Yisamitz, you should make an effort, a strong effort, l'kabetz asara anashim, to gather together 10 people, she is palo al-kopanu beis ha-betzibur, that he should pray at least in his own house with the congregation, because he can't make it to some other more official place. V'mi actually, if that's impossible, can't find people, or it's too difficult for him to make the effort to gather together a minyan. Mispalim al kopanim, you should at least pray b'shoah she'atzibur mispalim at the same time that the congregation is praying. Now, shi'ah osiyeis ratzon, because that is a favorable time. So while you don't have the benefit of praying with the congregation, at least you have the benefit of praying at the time the congregation is praying. V'chei mishu hu dar b'makim she'en shaminyan, if a person lives in an area, in a city or a little town, that there is no minyan, you don't have 10 Jews, there's no quorum of 10 Jews to pray together with, yispalo b'shoah she'atzibur mispalim b'ayaris, you should pray at the same time that the congregation is praying in the bigger cities. Ah, however, in this case, in tzarech l'umah, if a person would like to study, and lastly, in lachtai anuchutzloi, he has to be involved in some business that it's very important for him to be involved in early, and he can't push it off. V'nisbar l'ayelam, we explained earlier, Simon Ches, the osur l'haskel kodem atzfilah, one is not allowed to start doing certain activities before prayer, because they worry that he may lose himself in the activity and end up not praying. Okay, and therefore, Yochel HaHaktim Atzmi, L'Espal, Tekev, Mishatani Tzacham, is able to precede himself before, to pray before the congregation is praying in the larger cities, and he can pray right away when the sun comes up, which is the first time where a person is optimally allowed to pray. It's better than waiting for the congregation, because in this case, he doesn't have a choice. Mishabur points out, nowadays, most big cities have what we call an Eitz Minyan. They have a congregation which is praying with the sunrise, so it's always good. That's considered praying with the congregation. However, this is talking about a person who lives out of town and lives in some area where there is no minyan. If a person has a personal minyan, so there are those who say, many the modern day priests can tell us, if you have a personal minyan, you usually daven at a personal shul, then when we say that you should pray at the same time the congregation is praying, it means at the same time that your congregation is praying. Even though it may be true, you live in New York City, and at all moments and all times of the day, there is some congregation praying somewhere. However, your personal congregation prays, let's say, 7 a.m., then you should try to pray at that time, because that is your congregation. If, however, you're out of town, you're on a trip, you're on a road trip, and you're not together with you, not in the same city as your congregation, then as long as you're praying at some time when there is some congregation praying, that's also optimal. Sif Yud Gimel. V'chein so too. Misha chov ashlib, a person is feeling weak, his heart is weak, meaning he's not feeling so well. He's not feeling strong enough to fast until after the prayers. V'kosheh al l'hamtin min lechol, and it's difficult for him to wait to eat al l'achar gemat tefillah until after the prayers are over. As we said earlier, in previous simanim, it's forbidden for a person to eat before praying. However, in this case, that he's hungry, he's not feeling well, and he won't be able to hold off his food until after praying with the congregation, it's permitted and preferable for him to pray earlier in his own home, to be able to eat early, rather than eat before the prayers and pray together with the congregation, as he said this earlier in Simen Ches. But this is only true if one is in his own house. He's going to pray in his own house before the prayer of the congregation. That's when it's permitted. Where he came to the synagogue and there is a congregation praying there, and then he's feeling weak and he feels he has to go eat. Also, it's forbidden for him to pray before the tzibur prayers. You can't stand up and pray Shemoneh Esrei while everyone else is still, let's say, in the middle of Shema, because that's a disgrace for the tzibur, that you're not interested in being part of the tzibur, of being part of the congregation, and that is forbidden. If he wants to walk out, he's going to pray the hall, let's say. still, also, again, it's a disgrace for the tzibur, it's a disgrace for the congregation. You're actively showing that you're not interested in being part of them, and therefore one should not do that. And one should force himself to stick it out until after the tzibur has, the congregation has prayed, and then you could go and eat, for example. Elim Cain, unless Royashat Tzibur Misachar Milas Palaf, he sees that the congregation is delaying the prayers, and they're going to miss the proper time for a prayer, then Yisrael Hubith Miatzma, he should pray by himself, Kadesh Olavar Azman, in order not to miss, not to pass the proper time for prayers. However, optimally, one should not pray in the shul. In other words, if you're stuck, all of a sudden you realize that it's almost the Seves Mantil, almost the end, the last moment where you're able to pray, Shemoneh Esrei, if you'll go home, you won't have enough time to make it home and still pray in the proper time. So then one could pray in the shul, even though it's before the rest of the tzibur, but in this case, you're allowed to do so. If, however, he has enough time to make it home, the Mishmur brings that it's preferable to walk home and then pray by yourself rather than to publicly disgrace the congregation, meaning to make like a statement that you don't want to be part of the congregation, even though it's true that they're praying late. However, it's better that one should really go home and not pray together with the congregation. And presumably, if you can't make it all the way home, it's probably better to go out to the hall, to another side room, and pray there rather than actually pray in the main sanctuary where everyone else is. But clearly, if one is stuck, there's nowhere else to go, one is allowed to pray even in the main sanctuary if the rest of the congregation will be missing the proper time for prayer. It is possibly permissible for one to pray himself, even in the same area that everybody else is, in order to make this save zmatu, in order to pray in the proper time. And the truth is that even in the previous case, where a person is in a rush for some reason or other, well, he said one should not leave leave the synagogue in order to pray. If one really has to, he could go home. As to leave the synagogue unless you pray in the hall is not appropriate, but if one has to, is in a rush, he could go home and pray. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Continues the Ketzer. The chenim who chayle, if a person is visibly sick, a shiyesha ernes achriya, some other kind of uncontrollable circumstance, mutil ha'akten tefilasei afil, a basic message, is able to pray even in the synagogue itself. In such a case, if he's stuck, especially in a case where he's visibly sick, so everyone sees the reason he's praying is because he's stuck. He's not feeling well. Everyone could see that, and it's not so bad. However, optimally, it is preferable she'elech lebeisim, he probably should go home to pray rather than pray in the sanctuary. Although, again, it is permitted, but if you can, it's better to pray by yourself at home. Sif Yadalot. Yishayim are those who say, she'mispalavlu tzibur lebeisik nesis, if one congregation, one quorum, already prayed in a particular synagogue, and afterwards, bo tzibur acher, another congregation comes, another group of people come lispalashem to pray there. Ein lahashat hasheni, the second chazan, the second leader of the prayer, should not stand in the same spot that the first person stood. It's a disgrace to the first congregation, as if you're saying, your prayers didn't count, we're going to now pray. And therefore, one should not do so. Stand in a different place to show that you're acknowledging the correctness of the first congregation's prayer, and just you're also praying. In unless the first congregation already left, they went home, the basic message, they already exited the shul, the synagogue, and then the next group of people could come and even put the chazan in the same spot as the original chazan. In a similar halacha, a similar law, if the first congregation took out a Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, the Karabah, and they read from that particular Torah scroll, the second congregation should not take out a second Torah scroll, whether it's the same Torah scroll, they should not take out a second one. Likra is Baisa Bisknesses to read from the Torah in that synagogue, because it's a disgrace for the first Torah scroll. If it's a second Torah scroll, one might think that the first one was invalid, and that's why they have to read again from a different one. Even if it is the same Torah scroll, one might make a mistake and think it's a different Torah scroll, or one might think for some reason the first congregation didn't fulfill their obligation of reading from the Torah, and that's why this congregation has to do it. It's a disgrace, and therefore one should not do it. Abel, However, says the Kitzur, Behave Kehilas, in many congregations, in Makpidim Be'al Devarim, they're not careful about this, and they have one congregation after another come in and pray. Everything should follow the custom in that particular congregation. The Mishnah Berurah speaks out that if there is a designated time for separate prayers, the way we have it in many of our synagogues, that there is an official 7 o'clock minyan and then an 8 o'clock minyan, so then according to everybody there's no problem, because everyone understands the reason the second people are praying is because it's on the schedule. There was a scheduled 7 o'clock prayer and a scheduled 8 o'clock prayer, and you could take out another Sefer Torah and there's no problem whatsoever. Kitzur seems to be saying even if there's no official minyan, there's no scheduled second minyan, in many places they seem to have the custom not to be so careful about this. If that is the custom, one may abide by it. If that is not the custom, however, it's preferable not to do this. Rather, you should find a more official minyan, which nowadays is not such a hard thing, and most places have officially scheduled later prayer services, and therefore one should just find one of those and pray together with the congregation. Sif Tesvav, Kaifim b'nei ha'ir ze'azeh, that members of the city can force each other, libnais beis ha'knesses, to build a synagogue, that's to pay money to build a synagogue, or beis ha'medrash, or a place to study, v'liknais svarim, to purchase holy books, lomei b'hem, in order to learn and study from them. That means they could force each other to have a set place to pray, as well as to have a sefer Torah to read from, and as well as to have svarim to study from, such as a set of gemaras, Chumashim, whatever it is that we currently learn from, one is obligate. These congregants can force each other to purchase them. However, the Mishnah Berurah does point out that nowadays, when almost everybody has their own svarim, the people of the city cannot force each other to buy public svarim, let's say a public set of shas, because you can always borrow from your friend. It's almost not possible to find a city or a community where you can't borrow from private people. That's whatever svarim you need to learn. However, it certainly is a positive thing, a wonderful idea, if the synagogue would have svarim for people to come and learn. Transforms the synagogue from just being a house of prayer to a house of study, which is a higher level of sanctity. And it certainly is a proper thing to do, to have svarim there so people could come and study. If there's a place where they doesn't have a fixed minyan, meaning you don't have a steady minyan, that people aren't always coming to prayers, then they could force each other, people of the town can force each other with monetary fines, they should always come, on a steady basis to complete the quorum, assuming that you actually have 10 adult males in the town. So they could force each other to make sure to come to the officially scheduled prayer services, so that the regular steady prayers should not be nullified. They should be able to go on as is proper. Even the people who study in, let's say, some small study hall, that because of this, that they'll be forced to come to the synagogue, they will be forced to waste some time from their studies. Still, we force them to come to the quorum. If we need them to complete the quorum, we force them to come. It is not Torah, because there is the time to study Torah is by itself. It was not Torah, and it's time to pray is by itself. And you don't mix the two, and during the time of prayer, one has to have a quorum. However, if the synagogue will have a quorum without the members of the study hall, without the people who are studying, then they should, as we said mentioned earlier, they should study and pray by themselves with their own personal minyan, with their own personal quorum, rather than waste their time from learning and go to the larger synagogue to pray with everybody else.